on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. I hope you like our new opening. It sounds we've changed it after many years to have the same. Well, you can email me and tell me what you think. This is February 20th, the February 20th edition of InvestTalk. Friday. Every Friday, our premium newsletter goes out to our subscribers list, our subscribers email, and it's one of the ways we help provide information for everybody. The newsletter format is lets us focus on a topic a little bit more in depth. The first section is always devoted to the market and economy highlights for the week. I pointed out that although the economy economic numbers this week were not that strong, most of them not beating the expectations, they were still not weak. They weren't weak. They just was not as strong as expected, and many of them less strong than last month. So we see some weakness. But however, whenever you have a leading economic indicator that's still up and you have like the falling unemployment claims, it went from 304,000 last week to 283,000 this week. That still means that the economy is doing okay. And then I wrap up that section with a brief summary of what KPP Financial's response to the market is. And also, and there's a section that we give a couple of stock ideas. We have a section on that, a couple of ETFs this time. And there's a portfolio management sections, which we talked about stewardship, shareholder, CEO stewardship is always a hallmark of a good investment, how good the managers treat the shareholder. That was, you know, something I think was. And remember a couple of weeks ago in the Consumer Watch section, we talked about the, remember the breach, the Anthem breach? And we revisited that and gave you some information about it and how you might be able to protect yourself. 80 million people were hacked. So that's a newsletter. It comes out every Friday. Every Friday, you can sign up for it in a month. It's a less than $10 a month. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page. It's time for Q&A. Bring your questions or opinions or whatever you want to talk about financial. 888-99-CHART. Let's take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
I had a quick question for you about when to get out of a stock. I just opened up an IRA. I'm fairly young and put in my 2008 contribution. And the broker that I'm using allows me to do a trailing stop. And I was wondering what's a reasonable range to do a trailing stop from? Should I be looking at 5%, 10%? What kind of number do you guys usually look at? So thanks so much, and I look forward to hearing your answer.
Okay, that one of the hardest things, that's a very good question. One of the hardest things is knowing when to get out of a stock. When to get out. And there are a lot of people out there that are buy and holders. You just never get out. You buy good, solid companies, you hold on to them forever. But then there's just as many people that say, well, you should have stop losses to protect your downside risk. Now, if you go to IBD, Business Daily newspaper, they have their trailing stop is usually about 8%. And I'll tell you this, I don't like a hard and fast rule of 8% trailing stop. In other words, the stock goes up and up and up. If it drops at 8%, 8% below its high, you get out. Or if you bought it today and it starts to go down immediately, if it drops 8%, you get out. I don't like that because it depends on the stock. If you buy a Johnson & Johnson or some huge blue chip company, they don't move very fast. 8% is a long way. On the other hand, you buy a really high volatility small cap stock, you can go 8% down in one day and 10% up the next and 7% down the next. So what I say is you have to look at the individual stock. If you're going to put a percentage, you got to know what kind of movement it normally has. Okay? But I like trading stops based on moving averages and support and resistance when the stock breaks support on the way down. I like those kind of moving averages much better as a trailing stop. But you wouldn't be able to put an order in like that. You know, if it breaks below the 50-day moving average, get me out. You have to kind of watch it and sell it when it does, on your own. So it's kind of difficult. But good question. Fund managers warn about exotic ETFs. What's an exotic ETF? Well, we're going to talk about that. That's one of our talking points today. And I also want to talk about lies you tell yourself about saving money for retirement. Lies you tell yourself. Oh, I'm not going to save money because of this or that. Lies you tell yourself. I'm going to list four of them. And another thing, what is Apple doing hiring a bunch of car guys? Car, automobile, Apple, Apple computer. Hiring a bunch of car guys. What? What's that all about? And finally, Social Security rules you should know. Excuse me. Social Security rules that you should know. Some simple rules that aren't so simple, but you need to know them. And that's what we're going to talk about. Hopefully, we can get to all of those things. But, of course, the show is all about you. What is it you want to talk about? Today, the Dow is up 154 points, the Nasdaq up 31, and the S&P up 13. And that all came in the last part of the day. It was kind of up during the day, because there's probably some foreknowledge. Why was it up? Because the EU extended Greece 3 months or 4 months additional time on their bailout. Okay? Remember, Greece elected these very liberal politicians. The liberal politicians don't want to have anything to do with the austerity required by the massive loans they've been given to bail them out of bankruptcy or prevent them from going to bankruptcy. And that was all negotiated several years ago, and Greece didn't take a lot of steps they were supposed to take. And this new politician says, we're not going to do it. We don't want to do it. We do not want to liberalize our economy. We don't want to tax our people more. Whatever it is, they don't want to do it. Yet they still want bailout money from Europe. And they want to renegotiate. Well, how often are you going to renegotiate? What's this, the third time? Fourth time? I don't even remember. I can't even tell you. So now the rest of the EU, Germany in particular, blinked and said, okay, we'll give you some more time. But that's time to try to negotiate a new deal. And Germany and a lot of citizens in the EU are kind of impatient now. But that postponement was what made the stock market prices move up. The postponement of the deadline on they're looking to get like $7 billion more in bailout money that was already promised to them if they meet these certain things. And that's like coming up this month, next month. And they haven't met those certain criteria. I think they should just let Greece leave. Just leave. But, you know, the EU doesn't want to break up their trading bloc. But that's why the market was up today. I didn't see anything other than that gives it callous. And this actually makes the Dow new high. Now, Nasdaq's already been at a new high, and the S&P is pretty much right there at the new high, but this broke it above. We'll see how much gusto we have in going forward, because the economic numbers here in the U.S. are kind of not the greatest this month in February. We've hit a soft patch. Remember, we had a really good third quarter GDP number, like 5%, third quarter last year. Fourth quarter wasn't so good, like 2.6. But now we're seeing January numbers come in. And I have a feeling that we're going to see a revision downward from the fourth quarter GDP, from 2.6 maybe to 2.5, 2.4, something like that. I could see that easily coming in. And the first quarter, if we don't pick it up, because it's only it's February now. If we don't pick it up in February and March, this first quarter of GDP is not going to look very good. I'm still pretty sure there's going to be growth. I don't doubt that. I'm not saying that. But it's going to be in the 2%, 2.5% range, not anything great. Now, if you like a list of commodity ETFs that allow investors to gain exposure to various areas of the commodity industry, well, it's yours when you sign up for the free InvestTalk Insider program. You can sign up at investtalk.com. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to JJ in Santa Clara. How you doing, Jay? Jay?
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good.
I like the new intro. It's nice. It feels
good.
Like I'm in the galaxy.
Okay, good. Thanks.
I want to talk about options.
Okay.
Trading. I'm looking to open up an account, and I'm just thinking about when I make a buy for some stocks. Do I want to buy a cover call right away, or should I just stay away from options altogether, or should I get into it, or what's your take on options?
Well, if you don't know a lot about options, you just kind of want to start learning about them before you actually start buying them. But options are a good way, JJ. Let's say you want to buy a company, you buy a stock. Let's say, just to pick a number, just to pick a stock, let's say it's GE, okay? So General Electric, you picked and you bought 100 shares of General Electric. An option is a very good way to buy a type of insurance, a covered call. On that and protect you in to some degree of a falling stock because you get the premium. Okay, now do you know what I mean when I say premium?
Yeah, I vaguely do.
Okay, so when you... go ahead.
Well, what do I do if I want to look for the exit point on the low? Is there an option I should focus on for that?
Well, if there's a price that you don't want to hold the stock anymore. You know, you own a stock, and there's a price. These are covered options we're talking about. Covered means you own the underlying stock. You can do naked options. JJ, it is a complex subject. It's hard to just kind of tell you over the radio show, but it is
worth looking into, right?
Pardon me, say that again, JJ.
It's worth taking the energy to learn about the options.
I think it is. I do, because you can protect yourself by using options. You can have some protections against losing money. And there's ways to make money selling covered calls. You know, if you own the underlying stock, there's ways to make. There's different ways to make money doing options, and some people do that very successfully. But it does take knowledge, JJ. So that I don't want you just to jump into it. You might, but I think it's a good idea, a good area to learn, and then dabble into it until you get comfortable with it.
Yeah, because I never hear you guys talking much about options at all. But
yeah, we don't.
I understand.
We don't, JJ, because it's a complex explanation. There's so many. Go ahead.
I'm trying to think about how to when I buy the stock, I want to know when I'm going to get out on the low and when I'm going to get out on the high. And so I'm thinking a cover call is great for the high, but if I have a cover call, what do I do about the low?
So that's where you start to get into strategies. You're talking about different strategies for options, and there's tons of different strategies. Straddles, strangles, there's all these different things, and it's just not for the typical investor. You have to become knowledgeable. JJ, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Great.
I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. The number is 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now. You know, as long as we want to talk about any kind of thing, money topic, I'm not a big options person, just so you know, but I don't mind talking about any money topic, and I'll tell you if I don't know what you're asking. I don't know the answer. I don't mind telling people that, because I certainly don't have all the answers. But I'm ready for your call right now, so let's talk.
If you'd like to see more about KPP Financial Select Portfolios, like our Balanced Income Portfolio, just click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com. Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have new opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve. Puzzled by how best to diversify your portfolio, Steve puts it into context in his info sheet called Diversification. Sign up for the free insider program right there on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Terry in Walnut Creek. He wants to talk about Alaska Airlines. How you doing, Terry?
Hi, Steve. Yes, I was wondering your opinion on Alaska Air, ALK.
Okay, Alaska Airlines, symbol ALK, provides airline passenger transportation via its Alaska Airlines and Horizon Air subscribers. I am not a big fan of airlines in general, just so you know. So I have like a prejudice, Terry, and I apologize for that. But I'll try to look at it cold-heartedly at the facts. It's done very well, okay, in the last year. I mean, it was a year ago, it was around, about 45 or so, and now it's at 61. It got as high as 70, and it's been falling down for the month of February. And that's surprising, because I would think it wouldn't with oil prices and therefore fuel so low, but who knows. It's going to have a huge jump in earnings this year, up 48% to $6.18. Then another 4% next year. And that, I would like to know why. Might be because of oil, that the price has gone down so much, that because fuel costs is very large in the airline business, fuel costs. So it has a great impact on it. It's not overpriced, but it is, a 15 PE ratio, and it's never had above a 17 PE ratio. So it's right near its own range of price earnings ratio. But great return on equity, 27. I think if you're going to want to buy this stock, this is the area you pick it up. Because it found finding support right around the 50-day moving average, right around $61 or so. It found about $62, and here's at $64. For 4 or 5 days, it fell, and then for 4 or 5 days, now it's traded sideways. So, Terry, I think if you wanted to buy this stock, this is the area you want to buy it. It's a low debt, good, solid airline, really good. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Terry. And I've mentioned it before, why I'm not keen on the business doesn't mean I'll never own an airline stock. But again, the fuel costs are, a lot of things affect the airline stocks. It has nothing to do with how well they run their business. And that is cost of fuel, a lot of unions, and those airplanes are very expensive. Super expensive, and they have a lot of wiggle room in depreciation to try to show that the company makes money. It's just not my area. I just don't care for them that much. This is Alaska Airlines, good solid company though. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, have you heard of exotic ETFs, everybody? Have you heard of that term, exotic ETFs? Or more common, the term smart beta ETFs, smart beta. Now, what these ETFs are, most ETFs follow an index or follow a sector. That's how they are. They're not actively managed like a mutual fund, but they're usually following a sector and an index or a sector. But remember, they're just products, just like a mutual fund. Everybody wants you to buy their mutual fund or their ETF. So they keep changing or making them a little bit different. So they came up with these terms, new ETFs called smart beta, meaning, okay, well, we follow, a smart beta would be like this. We follow the S&P 500, but we hedge because we only buy the S&P 500 stocks that have high dividends, or S&P 500 that have low volatility. In other words, they follow the smart betas, follow an index, but then they kind of try to adjust to try to beat the index. Now, the problem is this is just a sales technique, by the way, just so you know. They're just trying to get you to buy them. The problem is they haven't been around and haven't been tested, and no one really knows whether it will work or not, these smart beta ETFs. We're getting thousands of ETFs out there, thousands of them, and covering every little part of the market. And all this is normal competition trying to shave it in more and more and more ways, the market, shave it, the market of the indexes, in more and more ways to attract you, the buyer. Doesn't mean they're going to outperform. This is the big issue. They're being checked by the SEC and everything else because they're just new, and have they been tested? No. And so their advertising is being very much scrutinized because not so sure. Some of these smart betas, they get you in and out. There might be a lot of trading, and that will affect the performance. Remember, there's quote-unquote an index, smart beta index tracking. Well, that index, when you index, you buy it and hold it, and you don't worry about it. Just, and there's no cost. There's no trading. There's no in and out. You just hold the positions. The index holds the position. Well, these smart beta stocks might be more costly because of the trading fees. I don't know. It depends. I can't tell you they're bad, good, or indifferent because they haven't been around long. We don't know. Coming up next in the next half hour, there are certain tax advantages to owning municipal bonds. I kind of like municipal bonds. But there are risks. Don't think there isn't. How many municipalities have we seen go bankrupt here in our last crash? Economics. That's going to come up on our 101. That's going to be our talk, our Invest Talk 101 lesson. Danny in Santa Rosa is holding on. So if you hold on, you'll be up next. And call me with your topic. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. You can reach us right now on Invest Talk. Chart. We're going to talk to Danny in Santa Rosa. How are you doing, Danny?
Hi, thank you very much. I'm looking for EOX.
Uh-huh.
It's Emerald Oil Company, and it's been holding very good recently, above $1.
Yep, I see.
So I want to see what's your take on that one.
Okay. This is a very small company, $123 million company, engaged in exploration and production of oil and gas in Montana and North Dakota. So it's probably a shell oil play, It has never made money except 2014. So every year before that, it lost money. In 2014, made 13 cents a share. And this year, they're going to lose 12 cents a share. The sales have been going up nicely, but they don't make any money. And how they've been staying in business has been issuing new shares. So they've been spending that money to stay in business. I would not, even though it's $1.18, it looks like it's really attractive, falling from $8. There's nothing about the company that tells me that you should be buying it. Because if oil prices don't go back up to $80, this company probably is not going to make money again. And it's in the most expensive area for shell production in North Dakota. I think this company is going to be bought up or go bankrupt, one or the other. Danny, I wouldn't invest in it. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dave in Sunnyvale. How you doing, Dave?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
So my question is about asset allocation in my retirement plan.
Sure.
It's an IRA.
Sure.
So I work as a teacher, and I used to work as an engineer, so I have a 401k money that I converted into an IRA.
Uh-huh.
And now as a teacher, I have a pension.
Right.
I'm 39 years old. So because of the pension, I'm maybe a little bit more into stocks than into bonds right now.
Yeah, you're too young.
With my IRA.
Yeah, you should take chances, I think.
Mm-hmm. So I'm 80% stocks and 20% bonds. And my stocks are, so 50% of my whole portfolio is domestic U.S. stocks, split between mostly index of the S&P 500, and then the smaller portion is like a mid-cap index fund.
Okay.
And then a small-cap fund. And then I have about 30% of my investment is international, emerging versus developed markets.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 20% bonds, where I did a brokered CD for 10 years at 3%, just so something would be kind of stable.
Okay.
And I also did emerging market bonds, just to diversify a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And also a GE corporate bond that I'm holding till maturity.
Yes.
But what I'm looking for is like another way to maybe diversify a little bit more now that I've done sort of the basics, like commodities or perhaps real estate. But I don't really know if now is a good time to enter either of those markets. And I don't really know what fund to use to do that.
Okay, good question. I think REITs, real estate investment trusts, and commodities are probably a good area because it will give you more diversification. And I probably specialize in the commodity area. I specialize in the oil sector, but not stuff like Emerald Oil, which I just talked about. I'm talking more along the lines of bigger blue chip stocks. And
like a Chevron,
Exxon. You know, I'm not recommending you go buy these things, but that's the type of company that you might want to participate in, because they're going to pay dividends and they're very steady and they've been beaten up a little bit. Yeah, so they give you a better entry point. I also would suggest, Dave, maybe moving a little bit heavier into mid-cap kind of stocks this year. A little less reliant on the large-cap mutual fund, but more on the mid-cap mutual fund. And the reason why I say that is because the dollar's gone up so strong, and the big companies, all international, that are domiciled here in the United States, their earnings outside the United States is going to be difficult this year because the dollar's gotten so strong. That's why I'm saying that. Good luck, Dave. Thanks for the call. Be sure to take advantage of our free risk analysis tool. In about 3 to 5 minutes or less, you can determine your personal level of risk tolerance. It gives you a score from 0 to 99. And just so you know, 80 is the S&P 500. 80. So what's your risk tolerance? From 0 to 99, what's your personal risk tolerance? And, yeah, just in case you're curious, you can go to investtalk.com. Look for the blue box that says free risk analysis tool.
Choosing the right investment products, adjusting to life's surprise events. If it's about money and it's important to you, we want to know more about it. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve or Justin right now on InvestTalk.
888-992-4278. So, let's talk about the lies you tell yourself about saving for retirement. One of the lies people tell themselves, the reason why they're not saving money or it's not saving enough money, is I have plenty of time to catch up. And no, you don't. You got to start early. The earlier, the better. You don't have plenty of time to catch up. Another one. I want to die broke. I'm going to spend all my money in retirement. I don't need to save a lot because I'm going to die broke. You don't know how much money you need in retirement, and you're going to be broke years before you die, and you don't know when you're going to die. Come on. Stop fooling yourself. I like this one too. I'm not saving money because, you know, this is just a big scam. Professionals and investment companies, they just want to make money off of me. Well, okay, then don't use them, but still save money. Don't use that as an excuse. And another one, the last one I'll just say, and this one I have personal experience with in my family, I'll just spend less in retirement. Yeah, right. Spend less. I have family members that have to work way past retirement age because they don't have any money. They're going to spend less, but they still got to work because they don't have any. Little tiny bit rolling in from Social Security. So don't lie to yourself. Really, come on. We need to get caught up saving for retirement. We're all getting older. You got to start putting money away. 888-99-CHART is a number you can reach us anytime you want with any kind of financial question. So let's try to answer another one of those questions right now.
Hey, I'm Ben from Santa Clara. I have a question about Union Pacific, UMP. I'm looking to add a stock to my Roth portfolio. I want to know when's a good time to buy it. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Union Pacific provides rail transportation with 32,000 miles of main and branch line tracks across 23 states. And if you notice, this stock has not gone down. It's still pretty near its 52-week high, made in November. It fell down a little bit, from 123 down to 110, which is what, 10%. Now it's back up to 123. Pretty solid company. Now the problem you have is it's pretty expensive still. It's been expensive. One of the reasons why it's expensive is because every year it earns more money. Every year sales are growing 5 to 10% for years, quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter. Return on equity is high at 24%. Not a lot of debt. Pays a 1.8% dividend. There's nothing wrong with this company. You want to buy it, you want to own it. So you kind of try to buy it on dips. A year ago it was in the low 90s. Now it's 123. During last year it dipped to 97 twice. and then it kept going up, and then it dipped a couple of times late in the year to 110, 111, and kept going. So what you want to do is wait for one of those dips again, then buy it. And it's kind of, it's a blue chip. It's $108 billion. You just buy it, you hold it. Just buy it, hold it, put it in a drawer, don't think about it. It's one of your core holdings. It should be a core holding if you're going to buy it. Let's go to Chris in North Carolina. How you doing, Chris?
Good, good. How are you?
Good for the call. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for everything you guys do. I love your show.
Thank you.
I had a question about FIZ, F, Foxtrot, India, Zulu, Zulu.
Okay.
National Beverage Corporation.
Yes.
I just wanted to see what you thought.
Okay. National Beverage Corporation, F-I-Z-Z. It's kind of a fun symbol, FIZ. Manufactures non-alcoholic beverages such as multi-flavored soft drinks, juices, spring water, and other specialty drinks. It's out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You know, I don't know if I've seen much of their products out here on the West Coast. Have you seen it on the East Coast there, North Carolina, Chris?
I haven't. Also, they produce Shasta, which is kind of big, I think, on the West Coast, and they have a couple of they just started selling an energy drink called Rip It in Walmart.
Okay.
And it's real big. The Department of Defense buys quite a bit of it. That's how I first saw it.
Okay.
I've owned it for about 8 years now.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. If you've owned it for 8 years, you got it's at $22.50. You know, 8 years ago is much less than that, so you probably got it at a good price. The company is just consistently growing slowly, not fast, slowly. Maybe 4 or 5% per quarter in sales. Earnings have gone, you know, in 2013 they made $1.01, and 2014 they make 92 cents. So they had a down year. That was the first time that happened in a long time. In 2015, I have rebound to make about $1.10, $1.12 a share. So it's a good, solid company. It's been trading sideways for a little while at around the $22 area.
Sure.
Not a lot of debt. Management owns a huge percent of this. You know that? Management owns like 70% of the company. That's good. Long term, I think you hold it because it's still growing. Slowly, but still growing. In the short term,
right,
it's going to have trouble because it's kind of a high PE, around 23 right now. You know, so it's going to have a little bit of trouble. But if you had it for a long term, Chris, I wouldn't sell it. I would not.
Okay. If they give a special dividend,
yes.
What's the difference between a special dividend and a regular dividend?
A special dividend is a one-time event, okay? They say, okay, we're going to have a special dividend. We're not going to pay it again next year or the year after, year after. We're just going to pay it right now, this one-time special dividend. We are not going to pay an annual dividend or anything. That's what a special dividend is. Okay?
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you listening there in North Carolina. Let's go to John in San Jose. How you doing, John?
Great, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for the call.
Hey, I just wanted your thoughts on eBay. They've got the split coming up, and they're going to separate into PayPal and eBay, and I'm wondering what your thoughts on the future of the company are.
Well, I like PayPal a lot. You know, I've always liked PayPal. I think that's a very good part of their business. So they're going to split it, and you're going to get two stocks, eBay and PayPal. Now, the question is, do you hold both of them or do you hold one or the other? And I can't answer that because I don't know exactly how much money PayPal versus eBay makes. Both the eBay as it stands today has been growing 9 to 12% quarter after quarter after quarter. Earnings have gone up 5% this year, will go up another 10% next year. So as it stands today, it looks like a pretty good solid company. So, but when they split, now we're going to have to look at the both standalone companies to decide if you want to keep them. This is not uncommon when companies split off a big portion of their successful business, and you'll have to decide which one, if you want own both or just one or the other. I would wait for the split and see how things shake out.
Okay.
Yeah. I would.
Yeah. I do think PayPal is the sexier stock.
Yeah, I do too. I like PayPal better than the basic eBay. So if you're going to ask me, Chris, well, if I wanted to hold one of them, which one I would hold, it would be PayPal. Yeah, you know, no okay. doubt in my mind. Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. 888-99-CHART. What is Apple doing, everybody? Apple is hiring a bunch of car people, engineers from Tesla and Ford, electrical kind of engineers with experience in batteries and electric cars. And we're talking about car people. Is Apple going to make a car? I don't think so. But they might. I want to know why they're doing it. Now, Apple, of course, as you know, is coming out with this new Apple Watch. And I really do like Apple's Apple Pay. I kind of like that's out there already and it's growing pretty fast. And I'm not sure about the watch, but I'm kind of curious as why they are hiring a bunch of car people away from other, what are they doing? What are they going to make a car someday? Are they going to try to compete with Tesla? Kind of way out of their comfort zone, I would think. Anyways, I'm asking a question. Anybody know how the answer out there? I don't. I don't know why they've not. You know how they are. They're pretty secretive about what they're doing. Maybe they're just building a bunch of software that they know are going to go into electric cars. Maybe that's what it's all about. I don't know. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Of course, you know Apple has been doing very well here this year, up, $129 a share, up again today. Well, the best time to buy was, whenever you saw any weakness. And, I'm a little worried because I think everybody in the world is in Apple, so we need to attract more buyers. And if you already own it, it's kind of hard to attract more buyers to keep pushing the stock up. We'll see. You're listening to InvestTalk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. Our money management firm, mine, is KPP Financial. We offer numerous different programs for different risk tolerances. And we try to match up your risk with what you want to invest in. So, like our balanced income portfolio, it's, someone who wants to take less risk but still have some market exposure, but wants income coming in from dividends and bond yields, that kind of thing. This is InvestTalk.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. If you have an idea for a talking point that you'd like to know more about, get in touch. Write us a note. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin. Beware of common investor delusions. Here's how to talk yourself down from a headlong jump into the latest, greatest thing. That's our talking point. Next time on InvestTalk, be sure to join us then.
888-99-CHART. It's time for InvestTalk 101, a lesson on everyday investing. So let's quiz you first. There are certain tax advantages for owning municipal bonds, but there are also risks. What's one way to minimize the downsides? Minimize the downside of a municipal bond. Okay, well, one way, very easy way, is to make sure you diversify. Municipal bonds, think about during the economic slump we had, there was a number of municipalities that went bankrupt. So most people think municipal bonds are very stable, and they are. They really are. But don't think they're a 100% safe. They're not. So make sure you're diversified. And you could do it through ETFs or mutual funds. That's one way to diversify. You don't have to buy the bonds direct. Now, I like buying bonds direct, and I like diversifying my own portfolio because I like to buy bonds and hold them to maturity. And the reason being, because if you buy an ETF or a bond fund, those things never mature. So if interest rates start to rise, because bonds move up and down in value based on what's going on with interest rates, okay? And, of course, there's other reasons why they go up and down in value. The underlying bond or the city is weak, or you're in Detroit, maybe they are going bankrupt. Of course, there's other things. But generally, all bonds go up and down based on the direction of interest rates. So in a bond fund, ETF or mutual fund, if interest rates start to rise, the value of that bond fund goes down. You still get the dividend yield. But if you bought the bond directly yourself and you held it to maturity, Yeah, the value of the bond while you're holding it could go up and down but in value, but you don't care because it's eventually going to go to par at maturity and you get your money back. See, that's different than a bond fund. They never mature. Bond funds, ETFs, don't mature. The net asset value of that fund is based on the value of the bonds inside it. And they always have bonds. That's the risk. If you want to talk more, or you want to know more about type bonds or municipal bonds or any kind of bonds, you can call me, 888-99-CHART, and I'll try to answer your question. We have time for one more question from our anytime line, 888-99-CHART.
Yeah, my name is Dennis, and I'm new in the field of stocks. I see B times A, I figured that's bid and asking. How does that actually work? Talk to you later. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, if you're new to the business and you're trying to buy a stock and you see a bid for the price of the stock and an ask, I bid the price for a stock and there's an ask for the price. The people who are asking, those people own the stock and they want to sell it. And they're asking for a specific price. The people who are bidding, they don't own the stock, but they want to bid for it. But they may not want to bid what you're asking. So those two different price points, right? Try to remember the stock market is what we call an open cry market. It's people, think about when their computers weren't around. It was people on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange screaming, I will buy General Motors for $22.12. The other side saying, I will sell it for $22.50. And they don't agree. But eventually they come to an agreement. Bid and ask. Bid and ask. I bid this much, you ask that, I bid this much to buy it, you ask that much to sell it. And you come to an agreement. That's all it is. That's what the bid and ask is. That's it. Someone asking for a price that owns a stock he wants to sell. Someone bidding for the stock that they don't own, but they want to buy it. That's it. That's what makes stocks go up and down. Okay, on a bid-ask basis. So that's why in the short term, stocks go up and down in price for willy-nilly reasons, not anything to do with reality, not really. Long-term, it all boils down to earnings. Are earnings going to go up or down? How much money they're going to make? And the stock reflects, the price of that stock reflects those earnings. Short-term, it's like a spoiled child. You don't know what they're going to do. They're going to throw a tantrum. Are they going to be irrational? You don't know. Okay, you just don't know because of that bid and ask action. Kind of fun, though. I kind of like it. Before we close for the hour, if you're an employer who'd like to reduce the administrative overhead associated with your 401k program, please ask us about our 401k solution. You have to be an employer. We have to go at the plan level. Thanks for calling, everybody. Thanks for being with me today. I am a registered investment advisor, RIA, with our firm, KPP Financial, and this show is sponsored by that. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today, and we'll do it again on a Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.